Thank God for church family. Times like these when we really need a church family. Amen. Thank God it's not just for show. Thank God that He's knitting our hearts together each and every moment that we are together. Thank God for you all. I love you all, South Bay Abundant Life Church, on this morning. Thank you for the kindness, the love, support that you show my family and I every day. Don't take it for granted. We don't take it for granted. Appreciate it. No, it doesn't. We know that it doesn't happen everywhere, but I thank God that it happens here. Did I say 1 John 2 and 20? Says, but you have an unction, you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. So we've been studying for the past week or month or so. Look at 1 John, 1 John 1 and 5. It says, this then is a message which we have heard of him and declare unto you that God is light. And in him is no darkness at all. That's powerful. You should have that highlighted if you don't highlight that. There's no way we can say that we're working for God if we're operating in any type of darkness. Amen. Verse 6, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we are lying and we're not doing the truth. Somebody said the word is not relevant today. I think this is extremely relevant. Amen. But if we walk in light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Then look at 1 John chapter 3. First John chapter 3 and 5. And we know that he was manifested, speaking of Jesus Christ, to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. Underline, highlight that, because the word teaches us that we all have come short, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So we needed someone to take away our sins. We know that Jesus was manifested, that he came down here. And as we go through the Christmas story, we know that Jesus Christ put on skin. Amen. Uh-oh, here we go. He put on skin to take away our sin. Oh, somebody's going to catch that later. But God came down and he put on skin. And it was a question, what was the greatest miracle? And it's a debate that when God put on skin and came in the form of that baby in a manger, that's an incredible miracle. Amen. That God would leave heaven and put on skin so that he could save us from our sins. If that miracle didn't happen, then we don't get to the resurrection. But we know how powerful the resurrection is, because if he didn't resurrect, then we're just doing this for nothing. But we know the evidence points to the resurrection. So, but Jesus was manifested because we couldn't do it ourselves. We couldn't make it happen ourselves. So he was manifested. He came from heaven, put on skin to save us from our sins. 3 and 6, whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whoever is in Christ doesn't practice sin, is what it's saying. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him. So if you're practicing sin, it's saying that you do not have that relationship with God that you need to have. And then look at verse 7. It says, little children. God affectionately calls us little children because he's our father. You will never see it in the scripture where he says adults are grown-ups. We're little children of God. Oh, I love that. That's why goodness and mercy follows us all the days of our life, because we're just like little children. And we need God. And God, thank you for saving your kids, those who are committed to him, those who've accepted Christ. Lord, thank you for saving us, because we are your children. We saw this morning, he said, man, allow those little children. You have to be just like that. That's why he refers to us as little children. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that does right is right. In a world that would tell you whatever you feel like doing, do it. It's all good. There's no right and wrong. God is saying, don't let nobody deceive you. Don't let nobody seduce you. Don't let nobody lie to you. He that does right is right, even as God is right. Amen. Verse 8, he that is practicing sin is of the devil. Oh, shucks. There we go, Pastor. Happy New Year, Merry Christmas. I know. It's all split into one side or the other. And if you're on, if you don't know whose side you're on the devil's side, okay? If there's any question, you're not on God's side. He that committed sin is of the devil, for the devil sinned from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested that he might destroy the works of the devil. Verse 9, whosoever is born of God does not practice sin, for God's seed remains in us, and we cannot practice sin because we're born of God. That's what it's telling us. Verse 10, in this the children of God are manifest in the children of the devil. Whosoever does not righteous is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. So your works are manifest. It says if your fruit tells on you. God says you will know them by their fruit. No, we don't judge, but we say we're fruit inspectors. You will know them by their fruit, by what they do. It's been said that if there's no fruit, there's probably no faith. There's no fruit, there's probably no relationship with God. Just watch them closely. Share them with the young ladies today in our purpose and purity class. Just watch these young men. Just watch them. And it will be manifest what they're all about. You don't even have to, it'll manifest itself quickly most of the times. And then we share that if they would get you to do anything that would break God's heart, eventually they'll break your heart. Teaching our young ladies, we had to go deep this morning. Oh, we were going deep with the young ladies because the world is not being kind to them. And if you don't believe me, parents, volunteer, go to your local middle school for a day. And if you're really bold, go to your local high school for a day. And see what our young men and young women are dealing with on a daily. And so for me to come in here and tiptoe through the tulips with your sons and daughters, especially the daughters in the purpose and purity class, it would be unfair to them. Because the world is not being kind at all. I would do them a disservice. I told them I might as well just go somewhere and sit down. Because I'm on the campuses, and thank God for that. And I see it, and I'm just, we don't have to go over to Africa anymore. Just go to your local middle or high school and start evangelizing. Amen. Start sharing the gospel. We don't have to go in our own backyard. Go in our own house. Somebody say amen. Amen. Verse 11, for this is a message that we heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Verse 12, not as Cain, who was of the wicked one, who was influenced by Satan and killed his brother. And why did he kill him? Because his works were evil and his brothers were right. Same thing now. Envy, jealousy, haters. Why are people hating on you and I? Because we're trying to live right. Most of the time, amen. Keeping it real. Most of the time, that's why they hate me, because we're trying to live right. And let that be the time when they really are hating on you. And because you're, as I told the young ladies, get clowned for living right. Not for being what they call them, a ratchet or something like that, or a tater tot, whatever they call them these days. The youngsters know what I'm talking about. Ask them on the way home, parents, they'll tell you. I'll tell you what a tater tot is. So youngsters, get clowned for being right and doing right. So here's where I was trying to go this morning. Look back at verse 2 and 20. So God is telling us to live right, to be light, to be salt. But then how do we do that? We touched on it last week and we're going to touch on it again this week. It says, verse 22 and 20, you have an anointing. That word unction means anointing. It means a smearing. It means an oiling. You've been marked by the Holy Spirit and you know all things. God teaches us through the Holy Spirit. Says we've been sealed. Now, turn with me. Here we go today. Ephesians 4. Natalie and I'll kind of be, roll with me, Natalie. You know how we get down all over the place. All right. But we're starting with Ephesians 4. Let's look at Ephesians 4 and 30. Interesting concept of the Holy Spirit. It says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed. Make sure you underline sealed until the day of redemption. We talked last week about redemption being that down payment. God says he put a mark on us when we accept Christ into our heart, the power of the Holy Spirit, then we're sealed. There's a mark, there's a seal that's put on us. It's also our name is written. It tells us in Revelation, our name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life when we accept Christ into our heart. That mark that it says until the day of redemption, we talked about layaway last week. When you put stuff on credit, layaway. But it also talked about a ransom. That word redemption also means ransom. That God has paid for you to be free from being kidnapped by this world or being kidnapped by your flesh. The ransom has already been paid and God is coming for us because we're marked with the seal of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And then it says, but while you are here, don't grieve the Holy Spirit. You have this big debate, is the Holy Spirit a person or is it not a person? But it says grieving, so you can grieve the Holy Spirit. That word grieve means that you can stress out the Holy Spirit. You can disappoint the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit that lives in you, you can disappoint it because you could be going somewhere and the Holy Spirit saying, don't go. See, it's not going to force you. He's going to tell you, no, don't do that. Don't go. Don't answer the phone. Delete that number. Stop hanging out with them. Don't go there. Don't do it. And then you stress out the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is walking around like, oh my gosh, I can't. You just keep every time. The Holy Spirit sitting in the corner like, just I don't know what to do with him. That's what the word grieve means. No, you're not going to date. He's not. He's the same type of guy that, like last time. Don't give him your, oh gosh. Holy Spirit is grieved, is stressed out. It says cause grief, cause sorrow, distress, and stress. And it says it separates us from God. The Holy Spirit is walking around like, why is she still, why is he? He know it. Man, get off that computer, man. Don't log on. You already know it's too late. You know what happens when you log. Oh my gosh. The word says grieve, underline, grieve not, stop stressing out. The Holy Spirit is saying, why I always have to get disappointed? Why I get left out? Everybody get in the car, they're going somewhere, the Holy Spirit is like, I can't even get a ride. They leaving me again because they're going to do something, they ain't got no business. I ain't going, Holy Spirit, I ain't going there. Holy Spirit, the one left out. Y'all stressing me out, y'all always going somewhere and leaving me behind. Won't invite me to the party. You know, I can't go there. Y'all know what happens over there. Won't invite me in the house because you know what's happening over there. Won't invite me into your thought life. Won't invite me in your communication. The Holy Spirit is just walking around stressed out. But it's also said we're sealed. It seals us. It puts the mark on us. All right, look, let me show you something else. Let's see if the Holy Spirit is a person. So think about it. Go to Acts 5. So the Holy Spirit will lead us if we allow it to, but it won't force us. You have to surrender. That's what it talks about, giving God 100%. You can't give him 95%. Because at 5%, the enemy will take it and turn it into 95%. And then you'll be back where you started, only giving God 5%. You have to give God 100%. I love the word because I'm studying. I just can't, you know, I don't know where to go. And God is just, I'm all over the place. Did I say Acts 5 and 3? And I think we shared this one before. All the apostles had sold what they had and they gave it to the church. This is the first church. Well, let's pick it up at verse 1. So they had sold everything they had and brought it and laid it at the apostles' feet. Oh boy, verse 5 and 1, but. It's always a but. But a certain man, it didn't say all of them. Make sure you're not that certain man. Make sure you're not that certain woman. But a certain man named Ananias with his wife, Sapphira, his wife sold a possession. Couple say amen. Amen. And we talked about it last week. Remember we were in the book of Daniel. And remember the men that lied on Daniel? Remember what happened to them and their wives and their kids? So men, here's the point. When whatever we do, it affects our wives and our kids. We can't say, no, I'm just being me. I'm just doing me. It's okay. I got this. It affects everybody. We saw that in the book of Daniel. I'm going to show you also, if we get to it this week or next week in the book of Esther, how the same thing. It's an underlining thing. Men, we have to stay focused on God because it affects everybody. But a certain man, verse 5 and 1, but a certain man named Ananias with his wife Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession and underlined kept back part of the price. His wife also being privy to it, being aware of it. Wives, you better tell him not so. You better tell him do right. Man, you need to listen when your wife is saying that's not right. We need to listen because it's not right. But she didn't speak up. She was aware of it and she just went along with it. And brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the who? Remember, we can grieve the Holy Spirit and now we can lie to it. That sounds like a person to me. It is a father, little children, father relationship where, son, did you cut the grass? Yeah, dad, I did. Wait, son, why are you lying to me? If I can lie to my dad, I could lie to the Holy Spirit, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Son, I need you to be home at 8 o'clock because I think I got my last spanking. I was about 17. I got home about 8 o'clock. Thought I was grown. Mom and dad wasn't having that. But it's a reason they tell you to come home at 8 o'clock because kids, really nothing good really happens in the neighborhood in L.A. at Dinker Park after 8 o'clock. So when mom and dad said be home at 8, it was a reason. So when I get home about 9 and I grieve them, then I got grieved, all right? So right here, it's sounding like the Holy Spirit is a person that lives inside of the Godhead that lives inside of us that leads and guides us. So sometimes we think we're just lying to our parents or to our friends or to our accountability or to the pastor or to our wife, but we're actually lying to God. And the Holy Spirit is, we're stressing the Holy Spirit out. We're stressing God out through the Holy Spirit. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan, look who fills your heart when you lie. Kids, it's not just I'm telling a little white lie, or it's Satan filling your heart to lie. Don't give Satan control of you. The word says, neither give place to the, when you're lying, you're lying. That's why God broke it into two families. If you're not doing right, it's not right, and you're serving Satan when you're lying. Well, it was just a little lie. Oh, yeah, but God didn't get any glory from it. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Ghost? Look, it's always those two. Either you're working for God or you're working for Satan. Whatever you do, you're working for those two. When you leave here, whatever you do, wherever you go, just ask yourself, who am I working for right now? Kids, when you go to school, ask yourself, who am I working for right now? When we're on our jobs and we're talking, who are we working for at that minute? You're working for one of the two. And you kept back part of the price of the land. Verse 4, when it was yours, was it not your own? So God is saying, when it's yours, it's yours. Ain't nobody, God's not interested in your stuff. God's saying, be real, keep it 100. You don't have to lie about it. If you don't want to tithe, then don't tithe. But don't come in here and pretend like, yeah, I'm tithing, I'm giving. Don't, God said, that's your stuff. If you don't think I can, God is saying, if you don't think I could do more with the 10 than you can do with the 90, keep your stuff. You ain't got to come in here and pretend. It's yours. When it's yours, it's yours. But if pastor says, hey, you've been tithing, don't start lying. You're not lying. You're lying to the Holy Spirit. And God's going to hold you accountable for that. And you know, here we don't trip on money. We'll never ask that question. We trust God. I believe God can do more with the 10 than I could do with the 90. Because he created everything. And God opens doors. And I can't say I'm afraid, but I'm kind of afraid because I'll hold back that. And then God said, well, you're going to miss that door I had for you. The door I had for you. But you got extra $2 in your pocket, though. Go on and do your thing. Can't believe I sold God out for $2. Because I needed to pay a bill where God is saying, man, you had no idea the door I had open for you. You had no idea. But that's why it's a trust relationship. Remember, where there's no fruit, there's probably no faith. Just got to trust God. That's what this whole walk is about. He said, when it's yours, it's yours. I don't care about that. God said, I created everything. God said, like, I really need your money. It's for you. It's not for God. I want to open the doors in your life, the ones that you can't see. All right, verse 4. While it remained, was it not your own? And after it was sold, was it not in your own power? Even after you sell it, it's still yours. That's your stuff. But don't come up in church lying is what Peter's telling him. When it's yours, but don't come in here lying. Verse 4, why have you conceived this thing in your heart? You have not lied unto men, but unto God. And see, that's where it starts. It's always a condition of the heart. Family, whatever we do, it's a condition of the heart. Me lying to my wife is not her fault. That's my heart that's jacked up. When we talk about all this other stuff, the marching and the protesting and guns don't kill people. People kill people. It's a condition of the heart. If it wasn't a gun, I'm gonna pick up a stick and knock your head off because my heart is black. And it needs help, and it's sick, and it needs God. I'm going to find something to hurt you with. It's not the tool, it's the heart. It's not your boss, it's your heart. Because you should be praying for your boss. And you should feel sorry for your boss. Not complaining and hating and gossiping and all that other kind of stuff. That stuff is meaningless. Where is your heart at? Because ultimately, you know that God is really your boss. Proverbs 21:1 says, the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord, and he turns it wherever he wants to. If God wants to bring favor in your life, he turns that heart just like that. It's that simple for God. So you upset with your boss, and that's your heart. You got to get right with God. I don't have time to worry about other folks. I got to keep myself together. Somebody say amen. Amen. All right, here we go. We got to finish the story. And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost. And great fear came upon all them that heard these things. I'm sure it did. And the young men arose, wound him up and carried him out and buried him. Because, you know, in the Jewish custom, you're buried that same day. And it was about the space of 3 hours when his wife, not knowing what was done, came in. Somebody say, watch out. This cat is gone and buried in 3 hours. His wife has no idea. She probably was wondering why he didn't answer his cell phone. But, you know, this cat is gone. He ain't answering nothing no more. She probably texting him from the little Jewish market. And he's gone. Wow. Somebody say, Lord, help us. Verse 7, it was about the space of 3 hours after when his wife, not knowing what was done, came in. And Peter answered unto her and said, tell me. Men, let's not put our wives and our daughters and our sisters and our mothers in a position where they got to lie for us. Let me say that again. Men, let's not put our wives, our daughters, our sisters, our mothers in a position where they have to lie for us. One thing I tell my students all the time, do the right things so you don't have to lie about doing the wrong things. Just do what's right and you don't have to lie about it. You tell the truth. That's why the truth makes us free. Verse 8, and Peter, I'm trying to get through this. And Peter answered unto her, tell me whether you sold the land for so much. And she said, yeah, for so much. Then Peter said unto her, how is it that you have agreed together to test the Spirit of the Lord? Do you think this is a joke? We've been preaching the resurrection, the first church all day. We've been in prison. They just got out of prison. They've been beat. Why are you testing? Do you think this is a joke? Is what Peter's telling her? You're going to test God, all that God has done, resurrection, and you're going to test God? You're going to still try and live on the edge? Why are you trying to test God? Stop living on the edge. Why are you lying all the time? Why are you guys going to connive and put this scheme together, husband and wife? God help husbands and wives these days. Everybody wants to get married. Nobody wants to stay married. The enemy just has a field day. And when you get on the page and you're not living for God with your spouse and you guys are lying together, living a lie. God, help our couples these days, and then help the kids of the couples when they're lying to each other and lying to everybody, a house full of lies. And we wonder why society looks like it does. And remember, this is a church. This was in church. Is my mic on, John? Did you fix my mic? Nope, okay. Listen, I was wondering because this was in church, Ivy. Then Peter said unto her, how is it you have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Family, let's not just play with God. You can't. He's saying you can't play with God. Amen. Young folks, you can't play with God. You can't come to pretend to be a Christian at church and then go to school and act like the devil. You go, don't play with God like that. Behold, the feet of them which have buried your husband are at the door and going to carry you out. Then she fell down straightway at his feet and yielded up the ghost. And the young men came in and found her dead and carrying her forth, buried her right by her husband. I guess that's the way they want it. Always together. God help us. And great fear came upon all the church. See, remember where they were at? They were at the church. They were in church. They were at church. And upon as many as heard these things. I would think so. God help us. God help us. God just wants us to be honest, to be transparent, to live this thing. He's given us the power of the Holy Spirit. He sealed us with that so we can live right. So, yes. Okay. Brother John said we have a few more minutes. All right, amen. So, he sealed us with the Holy Spirit. And let me just take you back. You know what? Let's go by Acts. Let's go to Romans 8:14. Let's go to Romans 8. Let me leave you with this, and then we'll pick up next week. Let me leave you with this one. I say Romans 8 and 14. Yes. We're there. Natalie, you there? Yes. All right. For as many as are underlined led. And that word led translated into Greek means guided, directed, surrendered, submitted, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And of course, we know the daughters of God. Verse 15, for you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. See, God's spirit is no fear with God. That's why he tells us, let not your heart be troubled, neither be afraid. He said, but you've received the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Verse 16, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Thank you, Lord. That he reminds us that we are his children. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. That's why we're royalty in God. That's why, ladies, I was speaking somewhere and I share with the ladies, you don't need a man to make you rich because you're already royalty. Has somebody going to try and make you something that you already are? And young men, you don't have to try and be something. You don't have to try and be the man. You're already royalty. You're already the man because of who your father is. And it says we're heirs, which means we inherit stuff just because we're children of God. Don't even have to work for it. Wouldn't it be nice if we were born with the silver spoon? And some people are. They're just born into the family where they got money. But then we know how miserable, if that's all you have is money, that's an empty life. But you can be born into that where you're just born into money, right? Born into that blessing. If you want to call money a blessing. I prefer to be broke with God than to have money without God. Somebody say amen. Hey, and some of us have been there, all right? Amen. Well, y'all not going to agree with me on that. I got it. Okay. No, Pastor, I'd rather have my money. I'll get to God later, but just give me my chips, okay? Hey, we say keeping it real. Holy, I ain't gonna lie to the Holy Spirit in church, right? I want my money. But we're heirs. We inherited whatever God has, he's inherited. That's why when Jesus told him, in my Father's house are many mansions, I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may be also. Look at verse 17 and we'll wrap this up. And if children, then heirs and heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, somebody say, man, we can't forget that. We do have to go through stuff. Amen. That we may be also glorified together. Amen. Because we're heirs. Just like Christ had to suffer and was glorified, we go through stuff and we'll be glorified too, because that's part of the promise. That's part of the royalty. That's part of the heirship. If you would. And verse 18 sums it up. For I reckon that the suffering of this present time, somebody say amen. For I reckon that the suffering of this season is not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. What we're going through is saying what? Yeah, we know you're going, God is saying, oh, you're going through a tough season, but the glory is going to be revealed in Christ. It's no comparison. And let me finish with verse 14. For as many as are led, that's volunteer, folks. That's not forced. That's not dragged. Didn't say the Holy Spirit going to be dragging you around trying to get you to live right. He's not going to do that. You have to be led. You have to be directed. You have to be guided by the Spirit of God. And then you are the sons and daughters of God. And we'll pick up the rest next week. And let us pray just quickly. And it might be someone here that wants to make a decision for Christ or for salvation, rededication, or maybe even joining the church. So, Lord, we thank you. Wow, what a powerful word this morning, Lord. We truly have to live this thing. Your Holy Spirit is there for us to lead, guide. Lord, I'm praying right now for everyone under the sound of my voice, Lord, including myself, Lord. Give us the discernment to hear your voice. when the Holy Spirit is trying to lead us and tell us what to do, what not to do, where to go, where not to go, what to say, what not to say, I'm praying that we would listen. Not only that we would hear, but we would also listen to what the Holy Spirit of God is telling us. Thank you, Lord. Praying that hearts will be open to hearing your voice. So many other voices and things out there trying to compete for our attention and send us this way and that way. And then there's the power of the Holy Spirit trying to lead us in the path that God has for us. So I pray, Lord, that we would be obedient, that we would be tuned in, that we would be on the same frequency, Lord, so that we can hear from you. Let us walk in the right frequency, Lord, the frequency of obedience, of surrender, of submission, so that we can hear your voice and then not only hear it, but then allow you to lead us. And I want to pray right now, Lord, maybe someone's here and they say, Pastor, I've never accepted Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Lord and Savior. And when you mention that, when we invite Christ into our heart, the Holy Spirit comes and seals us, put that mark on us. And then not only that, our name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Pastor, I don't know if my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I don't know if I've ever accepted Christ, but I want my name in that book because I know that you're going to read out of that book to see who's invited into the kingdom of heaven or who's going to have to depart from God for eternity. So if you're here this morning, you've never accepted Christ into your heart and you want to be sure, elevate your hand. I'd love to pray for you. Or maybe you're here and you say, Pastor, I just need to rededicate my life. The year is coming to an end. We're almost halfway through December and I really don't want to wait to January to get it together. I want to rededicate my life today. I want to get my heart, my mind, my life right, back right with Christ. Elevate your hand. Maybe you're here and you're looking for a church home. You say, Pastor, I've been visiting. I love the people here. I love the word, from the worship to the word. I just feel God here. I feel like a family and a realness where people actually love God and are seeking God. And I think this could be the place for me. I know this could be the place for me to find my purpose, my method, and grow closer to God. If that's you, elevate your hand. Thank you, Lord. And just praying, Lord, for those that are here again for salvation, rededication, and joining the church. And God, you're just great and greatly to be praised. I'm going to ask my brothers to come up. I believe that's, is that David or Aaron? David, come on up. Devon, Jay, come on up. You all would come and stand right here. Saw the hands for rededication and then for membership as well. Rededication, amen. I'm gonna ask some of my men to come up. Brother Raymond. Thank you, Michael. Somebody need to give God some praise this morning for Lord, we just thank you, Lord, as men,
yes, Lord.
As we all stand here and we all know we need to rededicate a certain aspect of our life to you, Lord. So we not only stand praying, but we stand in need as well. So thank you for the brothers that have come forth. And God, we thank you that you give us a second and third chance, Lord. And
yes, Lord.
We don't want to go through life thinking that we're getting over, but knowing that we're lying to you above all about how we're living our life and what we're doing and what we're thinking about and what our motive behind the motive is, Lord. So right now we thank you for your word, because it says if we confess our sins, you're faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. So we ask that you would forgive us, Lord. And your word says if we cover our sins, we shall not prosper. But if we confess and forsake, we shall find mercy. So as we stand up here, Lord, and say that we're sorry for disappointing you, Holy Spirit, we repent for grieving you, stressing you out, distressing you through our actions, through our thoughts, through our motives. We ask that you would forgive us, Lord, because your word says if we cover our sins, we shall not prosper. So we not only want to confess, but we want to forsake, Lord. We're sorry. Holy Spirit, give us the power to not do it again. We don't want to test you. We don't want to live on the edge, always testing God to see how much we can get away with, putting our wives, sisters, mothers, daughters in danger through our actions. Lord, forgive us. Cover us with your blood, Lord. Cover them, Lord, for the stupid things we've done. Cover them, Lord. Don't let it come back on them. Cover them now, Lord, and then give us the wisdom, the insight, the discernment to walk right, to be right, to live right. Holy Spirit, lead, guide, and direct us. We want to be led by you. You're not going to force us. You're not going to drag us around. But you will tell us what to do. So as we're here rededicating, we're rededicating our ears to listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit and to be led by God. Thank you for this special day, Lord. Just the rededication as we even Christian and dedicated Ava, Lord. And little did we know that we would be rededicating our lives on the same day. But you knew, Lord, and we thank you for the setup. Thank you for setting us up, Lord, as only you can. Thank you for goodness and mercy that will follow us all the days of our life and will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Lord, we're committed to you. Through our struggles, through our successes, through the distractions, temptations, and frustrations, we're committed to you. From this day forward, Lord, help us to renew our minds. Help us to walk right, live right, and be right. We trust in you, Lord, like never before. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you so much, Lord. Love you. God
bless you. Appreciate you, man. Thank you, brother. Bless you, brother. Stand to your feet. Family, stand to your feet. What a great day it is. God is awesome. We thank you, Lord, that you've come to give us life and that more abundantly. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Give somebody a hug. You are dismissed. We can hang out a little bit so you don't have to rush right out today. Amen.